The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 169. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? I'm in the dark. I forgot to put my lights on. There you go.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What is up?
Brian Manjoma. Mr. Brian. This guy's sleeping.
Hey, people.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Adam Vale.
What up, people? What up?
All right. What's going on? The truth, he's already in there. All right. A couple of things before we start here. Hopefully, everything goes right. My internet has been kind of spotty. We were originally going to have Manny restream it, but some weird technical stuff's going on his end. So pray for us that we could do this just fine. But just to make things fine, I'm going to just stay off camera because, yeah, internet being weird tonight. You know, don't you love technology? Technology you pay a lot of money for a month.
Isn't that wonderful? You see how that works?
It's fucking insane, man. All right, before we start, a couple of things. Oh, there is Brian.
Hey, what's up? Hey, party people, what's up?
Hey, Brian, were you playing Warframe, man?
Yes, but that wasn't the problem. It was something else.
Uh-oh, yeah. I guess we're all having technical difficulties, man. Okay, before we start, I promise I'm going to do this. I wanted to give a quick shout-out to at iRetroGamer that I ran into on Twitter the other day. His name is Tyler. What's cool about this guy is he posted this video of him getting Mega Man 2, right? Like, basically his parents actually had a video camera back in the day and recorded him getting Mega Man 2 and all this other shit. It was really cool. I'm like, see, that's what gaming's about, man. Like, he was a kid. He came to New York. You know, his cousin had Mega Man 2. They played the fuck out of it. He came home to wherever he lived, and all he wanted was Mega Man 2. He just wanted Mega Man 2. And for months, that's all he asked for. And he finally got it. This kid was happier than a motherfucker. You know, And then I was just thinking how ironic it is that kids nowadays wouldn't be able to appreciate Mega Man 2 the way he did, you know, playing this hard ass game. And he's getting, you know, and this little kid is just playing the shit out of it. Hell, we know some grown ups that can't handle hard games, but we'll leave
them. We know some grown ups that can't handle easy games.
Shit.
We know some grown ups that play $60 a month to cheat on games.
Oh, man. All right. So we got an interesting show. I don't even know if we have the featured image up yet. We'll figure that out later. I don't even know what we're calling this episode. But shit did happen this week, so we're going to run through it. So the first one thing we're going to talk about, because this is just amusing to me, right? So I think this was on... Did we even get asked this question for throwing your questions? I don't think we did.
I think this is just a Twitter fighting you. I mean, this happened and it blew up and it resolved so fast that I think it all happened between shows and most of your combat was on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't any combat. It was just amusing more than anything. So basically, the rumor started by Polygon suggested that Microsoft was going to buy EA. Everybody lost their fucking minds over the prospect of this, especially Xbox fanboys who were like, that's it. We're going to kill Sony now. They didn't say they're going to kill Nintendo. We're going to kill Sony. Went crazy for about 3 hours. Then, hey, guess what? Microsoft isn't buying EA. They actually bought some little indie company. It's like basically because Polygon, they reported something that they felt was going on. It wasn't even like a substantiated rumor. It sent the whole internet into a frenzy, you know? It's fucking insane, man. So, yeah, what do you guys think about this nonsense that happened?
That's silly. It's just like
I didn't see it as like Microsoft, even if they, if it did happen, is something that they would do to kill, you know, Sony. I think this would have been great for the business. I mean, they would have owned it and they would have fixed all the issues, because people keep bitching about EA. Well, EA will have new owners. What's the bitch about? And I doubt if they would have made everything exclusive, because it's all about making money, and that's not how you make money. And remember, they want to go game as a service, so I don't think they really care too much about, oh, well, we're going to put this all on our Xbox. That doesn't make sense. So it's a shame it's not happening.
Well, that was the hope of these fanboys. They're like, oh, that's it. We're going to get all these exclusives, son. Sony ain't getting shit now, son.
Nah, it's not what's best for business, man.
They don't care about business. Yeah. They just care about winning, you know?
There's a reason why the fact that Microsoft does own Minecraft, but they didn't take it off of any of the other consoles, because they know that game makes money hand over foot.
That's what I'm saying. It just proves it makes money. So the same thing goes with all. Can you imagine if they're like, yeah, we bought it, and by the way, Madden and NBA and NHL and FIFA, that's all exclusive to Xbox. It just makes no damn sense.
I mean, it would. To be honest, I would definitely think that some of the things that would happen is that maybe there would be, just like there was before, they'll just be like totally exclusive content that you'll never see on the other consoles.
God, still, because remember, that's one thing that Phil was against.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see him saying, oh yeah, by the way, now we're gonna have all this exclusive content. I'm backtracking, sorry, my bad. I'm alive.
Well, number one, they've backtracked and all kinds of, you know, forward tracked and whatever tracked all over the damn place.
Not him. Just remember, all that stuff was before him, not him. This would be his first time if that happened. He hasn't done.
Yeah, and Daniel J, he is right. Because of that, EA stock shot up, because they're like, oh shit, here we go. You know,
all the money grubbers out there are like, oh yes, this is gonna be great for us.
But again, I just find it funny how this thing exploded and died within the span of like 3 or 4 hours.
And then watch EA's stock just plummet. Oh, that wasn't real.
Yeah.
At best, like, even if they were to acquire EA, at best it would have been a Minecraft situation. They just wanted the IP to own it, and all the Madden games, all the whatever they make, Battlefield, all of those would have still been multi-platform. I mean, but that's not even the crazy part. The crazy part is just them acquiring EA. EA is fucking gigantic. Like, the amount of money it would take for them to get EA would be, I don't know, more than Lucasfilm and, I don't know, more than 20th Century Fox or something like whatever Disney did, but
that's my issue. But EA is a publicly traded company, right?
Yeah, they are.
So after all the controversy about microtransactions and all that stuff going on, I could see, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like,
saying, hey, let's hear them out.
Instead of buying the whole company, they could literally just buy the majority stock of the company, you know? You don't need to buy the whole thing. It just would be the controlling stock over the country, over the company.
I mean, like 10 years ago, my 2008 self would have been so excited about this, because, I mean, I always wanted Microsoft to buy BioWare off so they could own Mass Effect. And this would have been a way to do it. But I'm like, I don't know if you want BioWare anymore.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's like they would. I mean, who's to say that that Microsoft couldn't just pick off an IP from friggin' EA? What if they decided, hey, we're gonna buy Mass Effect? That's not unplausible.
That's possible. That's definitely all possible.
They could literally just pick and. I mean, like, EA has a bunch of dead properties that Microsoft could just be like, yoink, yoink, and yoink.
The problem is they then need studios to develop this new IP. So it's like, yeah, we have it. All right, well.
There's a lot of studios out there. They could literally farm out, you know, get one of those other studios to develop at least one of them, and then just do it that way. It's not that hard to find studios out there. Studios can form.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing just annoyed the shit out of me. Everybody just believed. As soon as I heard the rumor, like, that's bullshit. That's impossible. That's not going to happen. And surely enough, it didn't happen. You know, but it just led too much wild speculation, which I just find endlessly annoying, you know?
Yeah, it just got all the. I mean, in Microsoft and EA wasn't the only speculated company that they were going
Valve
to buy.
Valve was one
there
of
was
them.
Valve, which is stupid,
ridiculous. Yeah, it was.
If Gabe Newell hates fucking Microsoft, yeah. You think he would sell them? Sell the, his money making cash cow to them of all people?
Yeah, and then I was just gonna ask this question. I'm like, what does it say about the gaming industry? Because you know, this isn't the first time something like this has happened, right? What does it say about the gaming industry that we're so fucking reliant on rumors like this? You know?
Well, you know, it's. I don't think it's. Here's the thing. That's what it is. A rumor is just that, a rumor. And I think people jumped the gun when they heard this, rather than listen to the first part, which says there is a rumor that this is going to happen. That doesn't, just because something is a rumor doesn't mean it's true. It just means that some people might be talking about it, or you know, they heard it in a hallway at some point.
Well, yeah, it's like it was Polygon who had a source, right, that supposedly was in there. And they're like, there was talks that Microsoft could, like, of the notion of purchasing EA. I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's talks with Sony to, like, getting EA.
Yeah, there's always, like, talks within the inside, like, hey, what, you know, what things can we do? Well, maybe we could try to buy EA. I don't know about that one. That's talk. That's it. That's
fucking just stupid. That's the equivalent of like, hey man, I was in Microsoft's campus the other day and I heard two guys talking about buying Sony. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. Yeah. Yo, where did they talk about it? You know, in the lunchroom, but I'm telling you, man, that shit happened.
Yeah, so what were the job descriptions? They were janitors, but they work at Microsoft.
They work at Microsoft.
Yeah, Chris, what's your take on this nonsense, man?
Well, it's part irresponsible reporting because like where did is it Kotaku? Where did they get off, like, even putting this out there? Because, like, in the current state of where fanboys are, especially zealots, and we've seen, like, slinging poison, all this shit, like, you got to be careful what you say now, especially coming from a major publication. It's like, I saw that all over Twitter. Like, oh, Microsoft's going to buy EA. And I'm like, why would they do that? How would they even begin to do that? Also, Microsoft is a juggernaut of a company. When a big company goes to buy another big company, like Disney getting Fox, you know, TV and 20th Century, like that has to go through the Federal Trade Commission. That takes over a year to get approved and all that nonsense. Like, so even if they did do it in the hypothetical world, that it would just be logistically hard for them to do it. And then it's like, is it worth it for them to buy all that stuff? And to fanboys, it was just like, you know, a feather in the cap. That's all they care about. Like, if IGN just said, oh, this, you know, it's a rumor Nintendo's going to buy Sega, Nintendo fanboys would be all, it'd be this all over again.
Yeah.
Nintendo wins. Sonic is on it.
Oh my God. You know, fucking yeah. Dumbasses, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
So it's irresponsible. Also, like, you know, fanboys, man.
Yeah, there. I got some more to say about fanboys, but we'll get to that in a bit. Hold on. Here's the thing.
Wait, one more with that. What was the company that Microsoft bought?
Some bullshit company, man.
Well, I mean, I would like to know that. Like, what was the whole hubbub about? What is this small company that they bought?
There is no hubbub about it. It's just some small ass company. I'll look it up though.
It'd be nice to know. Like, it could, like, oh, hey, they're the guys that make the vibration controls inside of it. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. They bought a streaming service. They bought us.
It's a streaming service. It's a startup.
They didn't make it's a startup. They haven't even made anything. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's some no name company. They never even heard of their own company name. You know.
like who are we? We haven't picked.
They don't even know. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. He bought some no name company.
Hey, man. The thing is that if you buy a company, then what? You know, like there is going to be some sort of deeper reason why they picked them up. So I'm like, why pick them up? Oh, okay. If they're a streaming company, that means that they are trying to strengthen their streaming side.
Mixer, but my question is, how does PlayFab go translate to EA? That's what I want to know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, listen, man, I need you to go to the store and you know buy a dog. You come back with an elephant. It's like, wait, what?
Tony, just imagine Just imagine the headline. Microsoft acquires PlayFab. And just contrast it to Microsoft could acquire EA. I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they, just one gets the clicks, man.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you, but I'm like, that one is very, very far from the other.
<You know? laughs> Yeah.
Shit, yeah, man. Exactly. But again, these fanboys just running wild with it. Yo, and I'm not going to name any names, but there are certain Xbox fanboys that have large YouTube followings for whatever reason who said, Microsoft buys EA, confirms Sony is over. Dumb shit like that, you know?
Yeah, that shit doesn't matter after they got clicks, man.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And it's funny because these same fanboys are, you know, they sell t-shirts that say X Gamer was right. Yeah, you weren't right about this one. You know? Fucking stupid. Anyway, man. So this is, yeah, go ahead, Manny.
I was just reading up on PlayFab a little bit there. It says PlayFab offers a complete back-end service to build, launch, and grow live games. Launch smoothly, grow fearlessly. Interesting. Wonder what it is.
Yo, Daniel J, man, it's PlayFab, not PlayFab.
PlayFab. They're probably the first thing they're going to do is just change their name of that company.
Yeah, PlayFab. Hey, you know, yeah.
Hey, what's up with that?
All right. Anyway, let's move on, man. Some more shit here, man. It's speaking of my fanboys. Okay, so it was confirmed that by Nintendo too. They confirmed this that the Switch, in less than a year, has already outsold the Wii U.
Didn't we kind of say something like this?
No. Me and Chris didn't.
I feel like we said something along the lines of at least it'll beat the Wii U.
Yeah, we said that, but we didn't say in a year.
Not in a year.
Maybe Brett did.
But here's the thing. It's a testament to how much of a shitbox that the Nintendo Wii U was.
Yo, Carlos, I gotta hold you back, man.
Yo, man, we're essentially playing the Wii U's catalog right now on the Switch.
That's what this thing is. All this thing is essentially a redo on the Wii U. Redo Wii U.
The worst part of the Wii U was the marketing and the fucking name.
The marketing confusion and all that stuff. They already should have just cut their losses and renamed the fucking thing.
So you're telling me that I can't use the Wii U controller on my Wii? Is that what you're telling me right now?
Yes,
it has the same name.
That's exactly the question.
Why am I buying an add-on to the Wii? Exactly. This is shit people were legit asking. By the way, they didn't realize it was a separate console. Because remember, when they debuted this shit, they showed the controller. People were like, "Cause Manny, remember we were watching? We're like, where the fuck's the console?
Yeah, you where's know? The console? I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's what it is. It's the console is not the tablet. The console is the TV screen. The little hand screen is your controller." So essentially what they did is made a giant DS.
Basically, you know.
Yeah, people like Nintendo, when they sold the Wii U, they sold that gamepad. It was at the forefront of all the advertisement. Mm-hmm. So people thought that the gamepad was the console.
Yeah.
So now Nintendo gauged that interest. They knew that there was an interest for that. So now when the Switch came out and that happened to be the case now that the pad was the console, people just freaking fapped on it.
It's the gimme. They literally people's confusion, brand confusion over the original unit, essentially dictated what they should do on this new thing. What is it? It's essentially all the same damn things. It's got two motion controllers. It's got a screen. It does. You can take it off and bring it with you, just like people thought they could do with the Wii U pad, and you can to an extent. You can load one, like a little bit of like some smaller games onto there and take them with you. But
they literally stumbled on this idea.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause their previous console had to fail in order for the Switch to even happen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. And weren't analysts saying 16 million? This is pretty close to 16 million. You know, and we still got 2 months to go, even though I'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, Chris, we'll get in here, man, with your thoughts on the sales numbers and all that.
That's good for them. You know, it's I admitted before, I already said when they hit last December that I was wrong, you know, because I said they wouldn't even hit 10 million and they did that already last year. So it's good they beat the Wii U, but you know, everybody has to put things in context. That was a low bar to pass.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the first year of the Wii was phenomenal. I mean, you're talking over 20 million units sold in a year, right? That's a bar. I mean, the Wii U followed up a console that over its lifetime sold over 100 million units, right? Then to go down to 13.5. So there's a lot of ground to make up. So and yeah, it did take that huge failure. It did take them trying to repeat the Wii and trip and fall to make something different. So it's good that it's doing well. But again, I'll stick to my arguments. They have to support it. They need great titles. They came out of the gate like freaking guns blazing with Zelda, and at the end of the year they had Mario. And then it's ports. But this year it seems like it's a lot of ports and there's some indie stuff. So I don't know what else they got going on. So that momentum may slow down. You have to look. It's a long game, right? Say chest thumping now and say they beat the Wii U. So what? The Wii U sold like crap.
Exactly. I was about to say that's like trying to beat the kid who got a participation trophy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, well, at least I got the last place. You know, this guy didn't even finish. Like, so you have to look at it strong, and then everything has to be judged on the titles it has, right? That's what, ultimately you have stuff to play, and it's good. You know, you can talk all day like, oh, they're bringing this from the Wii U. They're bringing that from the Wii U. That can only go so far. The Wii U library was only so big. Third parties abandoned it. So if Nintendo ports it, are you going to play Wonderful 101 if they bring it over? Eventually it's going to get old. So you have to look at what that third party's giving and what Nintendo's giving you that's new. Like, you know, Bayonetta 3 was a freaking logo at VGX, so that is indeterminate when it's going to come out. So Metroid Prime was a logo. Yeah, Metroid Prime was a logo. So we don't know. And the guy who said, oh, there'll be a Pokemon, you don't know if that's come this year.
Dude, I love how reactionary that was. Yeah. Literally, it was, like, everyone's like, oh, they're going to come out with Pokemon, they're going to come out with Pokemon. Oh, it was fucking Pokemon, and the internet got so mad that they literally went into the office and went, dude, can you just please tell them we're going to be working on a Pokemon? But we're not working on a Pokemon. I know, we're going to start, though, and just tell them we're doing it. Like, yeah, exactly. Hey, everybody! We're excited and working on a new Pokemon game. Like, there was no time to throw together an actual ad campaign or even a logo for that. They just carted a video camera, someone's iPhone, into somebody's office.
It's like, say something.
So just say that there's a Pokemon coming, man.
Listen, just say it. Sakurai, go out there. Say that Smash Brothers might be coming.
Yeah. So, and you guys who, you know, people come at us, came at Tony and me on Twitter. Oh, look at this. What they, yeah. All right, listen to the show, all right? We've discussed this already. We've been through this.
Yeah, let me jump on here real quick. This is fucking retarded, right? So, like an hour or two after this announcement dropped, right, you know, this one dude that follows me on Twitter starts tagging me and Chris showing our old tweets from, like, a year ago, right, when we were saying that shit ain't going to sell 6 million. And I asked him, where were you when Chris and I ate crow when it sold 5 fucking million? And obviously he didn't answer, but we knew what the answer was. He wasn't paying attention. We ate fucking crow. We admitted we were wrong. We when the shit sold 5 billion, we admitted we were wrong. But they were like, oh, what are you saying about this now? What do you say about this now? And I had to make him look stupid. I'm like, why are you digging up old tweets, man? Why don't you look back just a couple more months, you know, instead of a fucking year, you know? Idiots, or, man.
You know, just listen to the podcast. Here's the other thing about it. And for those of you out there who are used to more toxic forums and ways of interacting, because we're all adults on this show and because we're all kind of friends, if somebody is wrong about something, like, you can give them a little bit of the business. People are allowed to gloat a little bit, but, like, you don't make a huge fucking thing about it. We're all making fucking predictions here based off the best information that we have. And sometimes we analyze the data and see different things. Sometimes we go with our guts and predict different things, but nobody here is wildly or vastly misinformed. That's why we're on a fucking podcast talking to you guys about it. So, you know, even if we make a wrong decision, it's generally based upon the right criteria. So I don't know. I guess that's all there is to that.
Yeah, and Brett, my question to you is, man, how much celebrating were you doing when this news came out? You know, I got to give shit, brother. You know, I got to give
really,
you shit.
I'm real happy about it. I'm real happy about it. It seems to be taking off for a lot of the same reasons that I thought that it would. Now, I'm also preparing in the back of my head to eat crow if they just fucking bottom out on us with zero releases this year. They at least need to keep bringing some of the bigger Wii U titles consistently flowing. They need to have new things in their library every couple months, and I'm starting to get nervous that year two may not be as good. So even in this midst of like, all right, I can celebrate now, but if I get too gloaty about it, this might come back to bite me in a year. So I'm gonna stay humble.
Wait, hold on, Brett. So you're telling me you're not hyped for Kirby and Yoshi, son?
Dude, I'm very hyped for Kirby. Yoshi, I'm kind of on the fence about, but I know a lot of people are really hyped about it.
I'm hyped for Yoshi.
Yeah, yeah. So, but like, my point is Kirby and Yoshi are not hard hitters, man. Let's just be real here, you know.
Dude, I think that Kirby game, I think a lot of people will really dig that Kirby
on the
game.
Level of Super Mario. On the level of Super Mario, come on, man.
No, not on the level of Super Mario, and probably not on the level of Zelda.
That's
either.
That's my point.
Oh, come on, they're not heavy hitting A titles, but they're good solid B titles.
Just so people don't misconstrue me, I'm not saying that those are bad titles. I'm just saying Nintendo doesn't have any of those big bombs like they did last year for this year. Well, that's what I'm saying.
If they drop just the remake of Smash Brothers, that would be considered a big bomb. Comes, that'll be a big bomb. When
Metroid ain't coming this year, though. You know, let's talk
about I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying with Pokemon, when it comes, it'll be a big bomb. But we can't really expect to see these huge megaton bombs, but maybe once or twice a year, honestly. Like, if you're being realistic about the shit. So my concern is,
but that's what I'm saying.
Enough solid B title.
Where are the? Okay, because we had two solid, huge ass titles last year. I'm just asking, where are the equivalent for this year? I'm not asking for 10 of them, just one or two. I don't see any in the horizon.
Oh, I imagine personally it'll be Smash Brothers.
The remake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right about that. Anyway, Chris, what were you saying, man?
Oh, it's just that, well, I said this at the end of last year. I said, in this year, if they don't come out strong, I mean, Zelda was a really strong game, and it was stronger than even I thought it would be. So I don't see anything on the horizon that's approaching that, like what they brought with that and then what they brought with Mario Odyssey. Like they blew their load last year, right? So, you know, I mean, even with a Smash Bros. Remake, you ain't gonna do it. I mean, and Nintendo fans can say what they want. There's always, I want Animal Crossing. It's like, yeah, sure you do. It's you need more than that. And I don't know what it is that they've got. And they're not promoting, I guess, the third party's enough or the indie's enough. That Direct Mini, I wasn't really impressed with what they showed. And I was like, okay, maybe they have another one in March because that's the end of the year. So they're going to make the shareholders happy. So they'll have another one. I love it how nobody digs up our tweets when we're right.
Yeah, I love it. Isn't that ironic? Yeah. Oh, look at you. Ha ha ha.
I honestly think they're going to coast this year.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Nintendo's going to coast most of this year, and then they're going to rely on probably rolling into holiday season of next year with a big mainline title and then rolling some stuff out after that. I think they may be able to pull that. That may be a perfectly fine business strategy. They've made big enough waves that they can ride that shit for 6 months. They can. It's not going to make Nintendo fans super happy. You definitely want to keep feeding your fans, but maybe that's what Yoshi and Kirby are all about. And they keep insisting there's things that they have several big games in the works that they haven't revealed yet, but you know, they always say that shit. So, but there's an off chance that they're being honest about it. I mean, even Nintendo has to be able to look and be like, we have a huge hole in our schedule that needs some games. I mean, even they would have to see that, right?
Like, yeah, just release a bunch of old games, and nobody played those Wii U games anyways.
You know, if they release Virtual Console, I can see that carrying them over until these big titles start dropping.
Ah, that is a perfect segue to our next little segment. And before I do that, though, shout out to our benefactor, Mr. Daniel J, throwing us $5.
Thank you, Mr. J. Awesome.
All right, appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, so yeah, Nintendo announced that finally the online is going to come on September 2018. So we're going to have to hopefully, you know, wish that, hey, we're going to get the motherfucking Virtual Console finally, you know? So, yeah, man, what do you think about that? They didn't say anything more than, no, it's coming 2018, that's it, you know, but...
I don't think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, September
2018. Have they even they've said that the online is coming, so have they updated any of the information or how they're going to implement it? What is it, what games will it affect?
Remember, they just announced it last night. They didn't...
To come in the following weeks.
Oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, remember, because me, Brett, and Carlos were playing some Monster Hunter last night, late last night, that's when the news dropped. You know?
Mm.
So, yeah, that's all you got. Hey, we're coming in online September 18th, and that's all you got.
September 18th. And so what does that entail? Because I'm just so curious as to what... Is it going to be the same old, or is it just going to be something else? I don't know.
That is the official date in which they will start charging you for online. That's their wording in this is very careful. They've told us before that there will be online, that you'll be being charged for it. They have now told us a date which it'll be officially launched, meaning that will be the date in which you start paying to access online on the Switch. That it's very clever how they've avoided actually saying that while still giving you all that information. But here's the question then. What are we going to get for the money that we spend, and what other avenues of revenue is that going to open up for Nintendo? What is their business model and game plan? A lot of people are going to say that it's the Virtual Console, that they're, you know, going to restrict their online play, but Nintendo doesn't really have a whole lot of online play to restrict.
Other than Splatoon and
Mario Kart.
And Mario Kart?
A lot of Mario Kart.
By the way, Brett, I have a question for you before we delve deeper into this. Do you think that people, especially people with Switches, will take this the whole paywall online well? The reason I'm asking is because, I mean, we've talked about this previously, how the Switch is kind of like the go-to secondary console for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people might already be paying for, like, you know, PSN or Xbox Live. So I'm just...
Well, I think it's a markedly cheaper price than either of the other systems, if I recall correctly. It comes down to about $5 a month.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And if they include with it a game service where they release, you know, a couple games a month like the other guys do, I think it'll be actually more well received, because Nintendo has a huge library of games that people are begging for re-release. Would we get a 4-year-old re-released game on, you know, PSN, everybody's like, whoop-de-fucking-do, I don't give a shit about this game. Or they release these small little indie titles that, you know, are not bad, but a lot of times not super great. Sometimes you get a gem. Nintendo has 30 years of library that it can tap into to release some of the greatest games of all time. And they can actually come out and use that as a high selling point. For $5 a month, we will slowly feed out to you some of the greatest games over the last 30 years that built Nintendo's empire. And you know that there are people going to want to be picking that up. And they, I'm not sure how they're going to do it so that it doesn't interfere with the Virtual Console when it launches. Maybe it'll be a renting kind of thing. Like, for 2 months, you can play this game, and then you can buy it if you want to after that. I'm really not sure how it'll work, but I think that they have the backlog and the low price point to at least present it as having enough incentive to not be a huge backlash. Also, the market is already used to paying for online. Nintendo players, not so much, but again, if we're just talking about Nintendo fans, you make it seem like Nintendo is giving you something. You know, for $5 a month, you can play, you know, Excitebike and one of the original Final Fantasy games, and I don't know, yeah, of course, Mario, I guess.
Mario. Yeah, if they do the PSN Plus free game, monthly free game model, or the games for gold with a classic Nintendo game, that would be a good...
Didn't they already say that's exactly what they're going to do, though?
Yeah, they did, but the thing is that the clause in that thing is that you don't get to keep them.
Yeah, just like the other ones.
Well, no, you get to kind of keep the keep the PlayStation One and the Xbox ones as long as you keep up with your subscription. The next month, it'll be a totally different batch of games, and they never said that you'd be able to keep the previous games from
gotcha. From before.
Yeah, because then they can turn around and sell them on Virtual Console, which is weird because that strangely echoes my childhood of renting a game 3 or 4 times from Blockbuster and then deciding if you wanted to play it, to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that feels like exactly like we've completed the circle. I am renting Mega Man for a month and then deciding, you know what? I really just want to own Mega Man and then buying it. Like exactly like I did, 20 some odd years ago. Wow. But I mean, I think that's where we'll land. And I think people will swallow that pill. And honestly, as much as a sucker as it makes me sound like, as somebody who had Sega Channel when they were a kid, like I have no problem with the idea of like paying a small monthly fee to have an ever-changing catalog of games. Like I don't have a huge problem with that, especially when they're, you know, Nintendo style games. So maybe it's just because, again, that's we're going back to how I was raised. That I'm really interested to hear what other people's take on that is. Like, are other people bothered that they wouldn't be able to keep a Nintendo game, or does that just again feel like renting from Blockbuster, which you did with those same Nintendo games?
I don't know, like, man. Renting. Yeah, I mean,
should have something.
Yeah, I'm gonna just treat this like I treat Xbox Live. I don't pay for that either. You know, so whatever.
I mean, you don't have to. So, and that'll be the thing. It's way more optional than Nintendo because they don't have that many online games.
Yeah, that's right. I just want the Virtual Console. Oh, by the way, speaking about old games, the SNES Classic Mini, whatever, sold 4 million. So
Jesus.
Crazy, man.
There is a demand for that shit. And see, I think that's the thing. I think they're trying to stage it so that they get some more stock before they announce Virtual Console. Because think about that. If that thing sold 4 million units, as soon as they announce Virtual Console, how many more Switches are going to fly off the shelves?
Yeah, I mean, actually, you think those old games will sell the Switch?
They just sold 4 million copies.
For $80, not for $300.
For $80 for something that you can't play current games on, and it only has a small amount. You're telling me a system that also that you can play Breath of the Wild on, and you can continue to upgrade or update and buy games and increase your library the way you do with an MP3 player. You think people are going to shell out another couple $100 for that shit? Really?
Some people will, but I don't think a great deal of people will.
I'm right on this one.
It'll be enough to make it this season's hot item again, and people will start talking about scarcity again, and that'll make people impulse buy it again, and that'll skyrocket sales again. Trust me, dude, it'll start the whole fucking cycle all over again.
Yeah, I mean, if they do the artificial scarcity thing, then yeah, I see where you're coming from.
They don't even have to do artificial scarcity. All they have to do is say that we don't necessarily know if our supply will meet the demand. And sure as shit, just as 5 million people – think about that. They could have sold more of these Super Nintendo things if they didn't have limited runs. They sold this many because that's how many they made, right?
No, they said they purposely made more than they did the NES Mini, you know?
Yeah, they made more than they did on the NES, so they purposely made more than they did on the NES, so they weren't doing artificial scarcity, but didn't they still sell out?
I believe so, even though I could have sworn, like, even a month ago, they were selling them again, like a new fresh stock.
No, they brought out a fresh batch, and those ones sold out right away, too.
Yeah. By the way, don't forget, Nintendo sold everyone on Mario Kart Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Like, that was a huge seller.
Yeah.
And that's a remake. Imagine, and I could see an advertisement of some hipster dude walking on a subway playing freaking the original Mario Bros. Or Super Mario Bros. 3 or Super Mario World and on the go. I mean, Nintendo won't do that because they're not smart, but, you know, I could see that. Like, people.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, you know, again, I'm just going to, you know, again, I don't really understand the mind of a Nintendo gamer, so this is why I'm having a hard time understanding this, but I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, yeah.
Here's the thing. What is not to understand? It's nostalgia. Nostalgia trumps everything.
No, because I'm thinking, like, would I buy the Switch just for old games? No. That's
stupid.
You just
bought a Super Nintendo Classic.
Bought a Nintendo Mini.
Yeah, that's different, though.
No, it's not.
Because it's $80, not $300. There's a big difference.
It doesn't. No. Number one, the thing is that what is the prospect here? You literally have almost an infinite amount of classic games on this console, and then not to mention you get.
And you're going to get every single game as soon as the thing launches. No, you're not.
No, but at least you'll get a bunch of games for free if you're paying for the online mode.
We don't know how many they're going
to
be.
So limited to 24. Or how many are on there?
20.
20. You won't be limited. Yeah, for $80, you get 20 games. For $300, you get the possibility of every single thing ever launched on every single one of their systems, plus brand new Switch games. Oh, by the way, you can use it to play party games. You can play with your friends. Like the Switch already has enough interest points behind it to move plus itself at a $300 price point. You telling me that when they add virtual console functionality into that, the thing that you paid $80 for all by itself, that people aren't going to make a run on this thing?
I mean, I guess. It's just a weird thing. It's like, hey, for $300, you play every old game.
But that's the thing. Yeah. They're not just buying it for that. These are people who have been like, oh, they've been eyeballing the Switch anyway. So they're like, okay, so I could get, you know, the Super Nintendo Classic, right?
And pay which would probably not even be around by the time the online begins, by the way.
Yeah, that shit's going to be gone, son.
Yeah, I think in general, they're kind of waiting for all of this Nintendo Mini business to jump to go away.
That's what I'm saying.
They made their money on these things, right? Wait for it to roll out, and then it's come September. That's when they launch their virtual console and their online mode.
Manny, I got a question. I got a quick question. Do you think these mini consoles were like a little bit of a stopgap until the virtual console?
Oh hell yeah, they were. You realize how cheap it is to make one of those fucking things?
Yeah, they sold it to us for like exorbitant amounts of money, but they didn't cost them nothing to make. Yeah,
even Chris said it, that they're using old tech. They're using the old Wii connectors to connect the controllers.
Yep,
it wasn't expensive to make these things. It's just a board. It's essentially what those little virtual console, the Raspberry Pis that people make. It's just a board and an HDMI.
But even better, I almost guarantee if you pulled the Super Nintendo Classic out, you'd find the part of the board that is in the 2DS.
Oh shit!
And that's what they're using to run the emulation. But somebody also proved, because they extracted the ROMs off of there, that they were Nintendo got kind of lazy, and they were using bootleg ROMs of their own stuff.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yep, I remember that shit.
Go ahead. I just want to mention something. Like Sony, the PS4 was selling, like they were advertising indie games. So it's like kind of using the same conversation. It's like, well, why would I pay a $400 system for indie games? It's kind of like the same concept, you know, like.
Yeah, it's but just, nobody would buy a PS4 just to play indie games. That's silly, you know?
Exactly. Like, and
yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, that was it. I was just, yes, that's what we're saying.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, why would you pay $300 for old-ass games? That's the equivalent of buying a $400 system for indie games. It's kind of dumb both ways, understand?
Oh, it's not, because the Nintendo thing has the power of nostalgia. Like
you got to remember.
I don't understand the indie Sony equivalents though. Like other
than that, I'm not getting that one either.
You wouldn't buy a PlayStation 4 just to play indie games, even if it's an indie game on there that you really want to play. You'd buy it because it's a PlayStation 4, and it plays that indie game that you really want to play. You already want it because it's a PlayStation 4 and does everything a PlayStation 4 can do. The fact that this indie game comes on it is that little tipping point that makes you go, yeah, okay, I'm going to get this thing now.
So, essentially what you're saying is, okay, you have the Wii U line of games, right? And then, you know, once there's no competition as far as the little, you know, the little NES minis, right? Once that's all said and done, now the kicker would be for people. It's like, okay, they have these.
Hey, did you miss out on the SNES Mini? Well, on the virtual console, you get to play all your favorites from your childhood. Mario, Donkey Kong.
That's all it right there.
Yeah, Tony, it's ridiculous. I agree, but
people. That's it right there. Because
you know what? Yeah, I get it. Listen, Nintendo guys, they're already, you know, they're hook, line, and sinker. They're going to buy this shit.
You also got to think. They also got to think that
they're in the tank. That's the word I'm looking for. They're in the tank. Already.
I also think that again, people who have fond memories of Nintendo, when they hear that this thing also has those games that they played as a kid, and they missed out on the two mini consoles, I definitely think that would be a selling point for them as well. Nostalgia's strong.
I know how to put this to Tony. Okay, so Tony, how much was the NES Mini?
60, I believe.
Okay, and the SNES Mini was 70?
80.
80. So that's $140 together, right?
Yeah.
So you need to be comparing $140 to a $300 Switch. And the Switch, unlike that, the other two systems combined, can also play Switch games like Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey and Splatoon. That's what's going to make them spend that extra money.
Yeah, but so see, I'm basing it off of the ignorance of people. It's like they may not even know it plays Switch games. They may just be like, oh, it just plays old games. You know what I'm saying?
Think about how the PlayStation 2 was also a DVD player. Did people buy it just because it was a DVD player? Sometimes. Did people buy it because it was a video game console? Sometimes. Did people buy it because it did both? Yes. That was the big
selling. I knew plenty of guys that actually just bought the shit just for the DVD player and never played a game.
Yeah, because it was the cheapest DVD player on the market.
Yeah.
And it played games. Or it's a video game console that plays DVDs.
Yeah.
So it was a double sell.
Yeah, Switch wouldn't be the least expensive emulator out there. You know, there are cheaper options, you know.
Yes. I mean, you know, but the thing is that you have the seal of approval that it is an official Nintendo product.
Let
me phrase it to you this way, Tony. Let me phrase it to you this way. It may not be the cheapest console or the cheapest way to play emulators. It's cheaper than a phone. It's cheaper than a tablet. If you're going to give your kids something that they may break, it is probably the cheapest of your options.
I would get them the phone because if they're in an emergency, they can call me. They can't do that with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a kid a Switch. He'll break that shit.
Did you give your 6-year-old a phone?
Yeah, I would. If let's say they're going to camp or somewhere, yeah. If they're not going to be in reach, of course.
No, I know plenty of people that their choice is like they buy an iPad for their kids. Like they're talking about family entertainment, road trip kind of thing. Like they buy an iPad for their kids. Yeah, sure, they can watch movies in the car, but only one of them can play on it at a time. An iPad or a Switch is a third of the price to a quarter of the price.
I wouldn't buy an iPad for a kid. I didn't buy my kids any iPads.
Dude, I know plenty of people that like that's a new thing. Like they're buying tablets and iPads and shit like that for their kids. So when you put it under that market, like is it, and this is due to the versatility of the thing, and I think this has been part of the success, is it's a $300 mini tablet that plays pretty good games for that price range, especially plays really good games. Like you cannot find a phone that can play better games for cheaper. That's for sure. You can't find a tablet that would play better games for cheaper. And plus, it has multiplayer functionality built in for if you have more than a couple kids or more than one kid. I mean, or if you want to play games with your kids, it's not the cheapest console, but it's also not competing with just consoles. It's competing with tablets, as you guys so often love to point out to me. And amongst that class, it is the cheapest. So it is the cheapest tablet. So you want to take that into consideration too.
It's still expensive though. Those games, if you go to get a game for your iPad or whatever you said your friends are buying for their kids, they're definitely not paying $60 for a damn game on it.
That's expensive. But the kids also get sick of those games in like a week and a half.
Same thing goes for the $60 game, and that's a waste. I have a buddy of mine who has a 7-year-old and he already broke his Switch. He got it for Christmas. He already broke it.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. Better a $300 Switch than a cell phone or an iPad. It is a waste, but you're not thinking in terms of a market. There is a market for people who are looking for mobile entertainment devices for their young children. And when you put it in that framework, their options are... Young
kids don't care as long as they get to see their YouTube videos and play mini games or whatever it is. They don't care if it's on an iPad. They don't care if it's on a Kindle Fire. They don't care what it is as long as they get it. They don't know the difference. My daughter doesn't know a difference. I give her the Fire. That's $50. My wife has an iPad. She doesn't care. Whichever one is handy and is charged is what she cares about. So she can watch her YouTube videos.
And that's why Nintendo really needs to put YouTube on their platform to solidify it. But that's my point. And yeah, there is the Kindle. But I know a lot of people that have tablets for their kids. And I know a lot of people that spend more than you know, $300 on a tablet, specifically maybe not for one kid, but for the kids in general, certainly. Or they hand them off their $800 phone, which they don't like doing it. And they get to the point where they're like, God damn it, my kid is always on my phone. Give mommy's phone back. And then they get it back and they're like, fuck, this thing is, you know, it has no fucking batteries in it. Like, and they, trust me, these are the people that sit in my tattoo chair and like, they eyeball my Switch and they're like, so what's that? Like, and they'll ask me questions like, so I could just fucking throw this thing at my kid and the two of them can play on this one little mobile tablet thing. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, dude, that's so much better than an iPad. I can just get a Mario Kart and throw me to a controller. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why? Oh my God. And how much does it cost? It's like $299. They're like, oh, I could totally do that. Cause they're already thinking the mindset of like $400 to $600 for a tablet for these little shitheads. I'm telling you, there's a market there.
I don't know anybody. I know real parents, and no one's spending $800 on an iPad for a kid.
Nope.
It's one thing to say. It's nothing.
One thing I'll just say, and then we'll move on, is like, if the last year has taught me anything, is that I really do not understand the mindset of Nintendo gamers. Like, I still like can't fathom how the fuck the Switch has sold this much. But you know what?
That's because it's a hugely diverse audience, Tony. That's like asking why Legion is confusing, because it's not one person, man. It's a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different angles. You have everything from hardcore gamers to, like I said, people wanting a cheapish phablet thing to throw at their kids to get them to shut the fuck up on a car trip. You have and then you have the hipsters who are going to flood in when the indie games come in. Like, you have five different markets, which Nintendo has kind of dipped its toe into, which is the reason I say, like, I'm not sure if they've meant to, because it seems like the weirdest way to walk ass backwards into success, but they accidentally kind of did what Blue Ocean should have done in diversifying their audience and hitting it from multiple angles. You have the people who want to play it as a console like you. You have the people who want to play it as a handheld, the people who want to throw something at their kids. So they have all of these different markets flooding in, and all of these different markets have different opinions. So of course that Nintendo is going to seem like it's, you know, fucking an insane, crazy person, because it's not one singular voice. It's actually more disjointed voices than the other platforms. At least Xbox fans generally rage about the same thing at the same time. Nintendo fans are just all over the fucking place.
Yeah, very strange. All right, moving on here. Some lighter news. So Red Dead Redemption 2 finally got a release date. It is not Rockstar Month, by the way. It is October 26th, so any game that's going to be coming out at that time, I kind of feel sorry for you.
That's in the belly of the beast right there. That's Call of Duty month.
Yeah, but remember what happened last time when GTA 5, which is Brian the best-selling game of all time or something like that, when that dropped that year, it destroyed Call of Duty that year. You know? So I don't know if Red Dead Redemption has that pull, but it's going to... Don't come out that week. So I'm telling games right now, don't come out that week. You're gonna get murdered by
Red Dead. It's a Friday, Redemption. Also. That's the funny thing. It's a Friday.
Yo, you notice how
the funny thing is that now all the game companies figured out, oh yeah, we can release things on not a Tuesday.
Fucking stupid. And Friday makes the most sense. You know what I'm saying? Weekend's coming. You know, I mean, if, like I said, it kind of fucks up our show, you know, because we can't talk about the games.
Wasn't it Sega with Sonic Tuesday? That's why it became
that's
Tuesday.
Right. That's right.
Right? There really was no set day, and they decided, you know what, Tuesday, it's going to be Sonic Tuesday. So then after that, you started seeing games released on Tuesday. Then we got Comic Wednesdays, right?
Yes, right.
We have movies are usually Fridays.
Well, so
they were staying away from
Wednesday.
Movies.
Here's the funky thing. Tuesdays is not because of Sonic. It's actually the day that everything gets delivered on Tuesdays. So any orders and everything, usually shipments come in on Tuesdays. And that's what it was.
But Sonic 2 was the first game that actually had a
was an advertisement to do that. But the thing is that, yes, on Tuesday is when these companies usually get their stuff. It's usually also when the comic stores get all the comics for the Wednesday. So everything comes out. The only thing is that comic stores are specifically make Wednesday the day that you pick up new comics, but really they get them earlier in the week. And for video game stores, they get their shipments for games usually the week ahead. So they usually have all those games in the back and they just put them out the day of.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'll have situations like, you know, you go in on Tuesday and you're like, hey, where's my copy of blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, we're still waiting for the FedEx guy to come in.
Oh, that's happened to me, man. Yes. Oh, I remember that. So yeah, that, not really much to the story other than we get a actual release date. My question to you guys is, will it be, because this is the second delay now, by the way, second delay for this game. Will it be delayed again?
Nah, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave a hard date.
Yep.
Yeah, they start giving a hard date.
They did kind of give a hard date. Before they were just like, some point in 2018.
Yeah, but they had a hard date for GTA 5.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did.
Plus, there's the incentive to push it back to holidays.
It's all going to depend on the online. If the online's not ready, they won't hesitate to delay it.
But when,
here's the thing. They haven't said anything about it even having an online mode.
It'll have it.
And Britt reminds me of something. Remember, we used to get those videos for Red Dead, like the Red Dead Redemption. It's like Red Dead Redemption.
They're probably going to release those things probably closer to the time. You know, so I would say during. Yeah, like even in the summer, you start seeing those things begin. You know, they never. I don't remember them starting it like at the beginning of the year of doing those commercials. We'll see. We shall see.
Because I always remember, I'm tired of these freaking videos. I just want to play the game. But yeah, maybe it was pretty close.
I think they're going to probably do it a lot closer to it to get the drum of the thing, to drum up the business. Yeah, they get that narrator. Red Dead Redemption 3 is the most awesome game ever that you ever will play.
We haven't even
go into the realistic world where everything can happen. You know, stuff like that.
Yo, man, I can't wait. In my posse?
By the way, Phantom Vash rightly points out that GTA 5 actually did launch without online. That came later.
Yes.
Yeah. It came much later because they had all kinds of problems with it. And then even when it did launch, it wasn't that great. There was a lot of issues. I remember jumping in and I'm like, this shit's broken. I can't. It was just all over the place.
But the first delay was mainly because of that. Like, they tried to get it working and they couldn't. Eventually, there's diminishing returns, right? How long are you going to delay a game to online? Imagine they delayed the launch till online was ready. That would have been another like 6 or 8 months, right?
Oh, when Heist, they said Heist.
Heist was like a year and a half.
That was super delayed.
It was long, man. Yeah.
But I think that one of the things that the smart moves that they did with it all is just not charged you for any of that additional, those additional add-ons. So they just made it so that you consistently get new stuff as anytime they come out, as opposed to just where you're like, buy the expansion kit to Grand Theft Auto.
and they made all their fucking money on shark cards, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I don't know if that was necessarily a good move because they're getting an awful lot of flack now for the ridiculous inflation. Their shark cards are pretty much fucking worthless unless you spend like $80. Damn. Like in the grand scheme of things, like, yeah, like a regular, like a candy bar in Grand Theft Auto has got to be $9. Like if the economy is so wildly out of whack and the amount of money that you pay for things is so just fucking ridiculous.
Or the funky exploit that everybody essentially did with the money trick that everybody did, where it got like over $1 billion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was early on too.
Oh yeah, me and Brett exploited the fuck out of that. I remember with that fucking Jeep and shit. You got to deck it out and sell it. I remember that.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that once they patched it, they took a bunch of people's money away. But the smart ones invested in a bunch of cars.
Ooh, check this out. So
like me,
like you, I can
buy cars. Yeah, I just fill garages with cars. Like,
check this out. So Phantom Vash, aka Joey Salas, says Rockstar already said Red Dead Redemption is going to have online and it's going to be a huge component. Sony even paid a bunch of money for the marketing rights and first access to select Red Dead online content. Thanks to make you go.
Thank you, Phantom Vash, for that wonderful information. Play Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. By the way, when I went to go get a quick snack, I'm pretty sure you guys were talking about like those documentary videos, right? In Red Dead Redemption 2, you'll get to experience a world. You know, that bring that dude back. That guy was awesome.
In Red Dead Redemption, wait, let me turn up the gain on my microphone. In Red Dead Redemption 2, you can play in an open world.
There. Yes. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on here. More happier news, right? But there is something I do want to ask you guys, right? So in 3 days, Monster Hunter World sold 5 million copies, man. That shit is crazy. Now, here's what I find interesting.
Not bad for a game that has bad controls.
Yeah, that has broken combat.
It has
broken combat. Oh,
it wouldn't be the first. Look at Destiny.
Oh, and here's the funny thing. Dragon Ball is 2 million. And that's the well-known franchise. You know? But here's what I find interesting about this. Because, you know, when you see shit like that, you're like, okay, whatever. It's shipped, right? But this is shipped, sold, and digital sales. So the digital sales actually count. So even if it's not all 5 million, millions of people bought this fucking game. You know? Which is insane. Because nobody was fucking with Monster Hunter before. Only the hardcore guys. You know? Yeah. But they made some subtle changes to the formula without upsetting anything. It still tastes the same. You know? It still tastes like Pepsi. But more people are into it now. It's fucking insane.
They just broke it out of a confining system and brought it to a fully realized, evolved version of itself.
Here's the thing. But it still has those things that the original game had. And that's the genius of this. Where it's like, okay, we gave you a bunch of, you know, you can play the game like classic Monster Hunter. You can, if you want to do that sort of thing.
Yo, man, but, can you do the claw?
Yeah, well, you can't do that. Well, maybe if you decide to switch the side that the camera controls are on, if you want to do that. Yeah. But yeah, you can play it the way those games, you didn't need the claw for, well, not whatever. Anyway, they updated a lot of the controls. And they, you know, they also, you know, gave you things, gave weaponry that are for, you know, people who don't exactly like those sorts of timing sort of weapons.
Yeah, so what's the weapon hip hop's gonna use, man? I'm sorry, I had to say it.
I feel like here's the thing, like the double. I feel like for him, the double sword thing would have been a good shot for him. You know, because they're really fast. You can get in and out. You know, and take nice chip damage and get some combos in. That's at least what I thought.
But your point is that there's a weapon for everybody. You know,
there is a weapon for everybody. There's like there's like the weapon I use, which is hugely like Dark Souls E, which is more timing based. It's the friggin' Iron Sword, which is just like that thing's heavy as fuck, and you have to kind of figure out when you can do it, and it has like a charge gauge, so you keep on hitting the person with it. And then it charges up and hits more for more damage.
Yeah, and what I found was I was very adept. Actually, I said with the sword and shield, it keeps me alive longer. So I kept using that, but now I'm using all the combos it has. I'm like, this shit is dope, and that's a very Dark Souls type of weapon too. You know.
And then you also have Brett who likes the insect glaive, which launches him into space.
I do love me some flying around and hacking the wings off of shit.
Yeah, and then Carlos runs in there with the hammer. And here's the thing, when all four of us are in the game together, man, we make a good team because we're using diverse weapons and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody takes different damage off those things.
I was thinking as a backup of at least, you know, getting a gun and using the sniping ability to, you know, do headshots and stuff.
Yeah, see, but, I don't know, man. I didn't like the guns because, like, I'm there shooting and they jump at me. It's like, fuck, I can't do nothing, you know?
You still got the time. Like, even within the guns, there are diversity. Like, the bow is meant to be used, like, from right up next to the fucking monster, like, dodging around Dark Souls style. That's very quick and, you know, agile. The light bow gun is kind of the middle of the range where you can still run and dodge and have full mobility, but then you get to deal with all these different kind of ammo types, and you get to place landmines. So you place a landmine. So when the monster starts chasing after you, place it, turn around, shoot it, and huge explosion happens, and everybody's happy. And then you have the heavy bow gun, which allows you to do more sniper, you know, fire from very far away and launch huge explosions. But you kind of have to pay attention for when the monster's coming at you. But you have enough increased range that you have the time to be like, oh shit, he's looking at me. Yep, he's definitely coming this way. Run! And so you pack your shit up and then fucking run and then drop back down the grass like a sniper. So it's the cool thing about it is even for a hack and slash game, it accommodates all kinds of different FPS play styles. And even down to you can customize your gun. So like if you're the shotgunner type, you would probably generally like the light bow gun. If you really like, actually you'd probably like the bow because, you know, it's more of a ranged melee weapon, etc., etc., etc. But there's a lot of playstyle diversity even amongst the guns.
Man, yeah, man, for sure. It's you know, I'm glad the game's doing very well. And the thing is, the you know, we talked about this before. The community is very welcoming to the new people because they're like, hey, listen, if we get these guys into this game, they're gonna make more of these. So let's help them out. You know, there's none of that. Oh, fuck these people. We were here first. You know, they're a bunch of plebes. None of that shit's going on here. You know,
dude, you know, Capcom is being like, you know, they're kicking open doors right now, being like, DLC. We need to make DLC. All of the DLC.
Listen, let's just be honest here. This is going to be their biggest cash cow of the year.
Well, they, you know? Well, they have a rolling DLC, which is the you know, the arena, the role, and essentially whenever you defeat the arena, you get parts to make new clothing. So that's how you get the that's how you get the Horizon thing, and that's also how you get the Street Fighter stuff.
They'll piecemeal you along with that stuff, but then I guarantee you somewhere there is being like, okay, we need somebody to release 2 new zones and 8 new monsters, or 1 new zone and 4 new monsters, and we'll sell them in little packs.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, man, because like, there's a bunch of old monsters that they could easily bring to this game, you know?
I think that's exactly what they'll do, is the first ones they'll bring back are the fan favorites.
Yeah, well, for sure. But I'm talking about the other ones and shit. Kieran is in there too. So yeah, they're gonna go ham. You know, Kalos says, imagine a Guts DLC. That'd be pretty dope. You know,
my character looks a little like Guts right now. Guts, he's got a big sword on his back.
They're also planning a Mega Man crossover.
Yes.
Yep. That was one of the early announcements they did.
Yeah, I really want to try the
did you guys get that one. Horizon or something? They said there were some Horizon.
Yeah, in there.
We have to go through that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's going to be the next stream, people.
That'll be the next.
They're taking that away and making it like you have to buy it or something.
Yeah, February 8th it goes away. A very short window for that for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And you're not really getting the what's her face outfit. You're getting a little outfit for Aloy. Kitty. Yeah, you're not getting the Aloy outfit.
The Aloy outfit comes later. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, it's not gender, like, you turn into Aloy whether or not you have a male hunter or a female hunter.
Yeah, that's what happens if you're Ryu or Sakura.
It's a skin, like it's a total skin. So all of your weapons and stuff have the things that they do normally, but you have a skin on top of yourself that makes you look like those characters. So it's the same way that one DLC works on there right now, which is like the Samurai DLC, where it's not new armor, it's just the look of this.
Yeah.
Pretty cool shit, man. So yeah, congratulations to Capcom. You actually got a big hit game out there. You know? Shit. All right, and the last story here, this one's controversial, but we need to talk about this thing. All right, so GDC, the Game Developers Conference, was set to give Nolan Bushnell an award for, you know, lifetime achievement, all that, because obviously Nolan Bushnell, Atari, all that, right? The guy didn't even get the reward yet. A big internet brouhaha happened, led by Brianna Wu, by the way, saying, oh, you know, he shouldn't get the award because he's a misogynist, the way he treated women back in Atari, yada, yada, yada. So they took his fucking award away before even giving it to him, you know, and then Nolan came out and said, oh, yeah, if they want to take my award away, that's fine, you know, the things we did in the past weren't exactly good, whatever, you know, so it's kind of fucked up because I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever may have happened in the past, that's in the past. This guy gave, you know, pretty much created gaming as we know it. All that other stuff, that's been very well documented. It's not exactly like any of this shit was a secret. It's like, yo, you got to acknowledge the man for what he has given us. You know, it's like if the award is for, you know, this or whatever, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man. It's stupid.
Because he's not getting award for his conduct as a businessman or like his conduct as a, you know, as the owner of this company with the things that had happened there. He's getting the award because he essentially, you know, brought forth video game. Here's the thing about a lot of this. It's like, okay, you know, at the same time, yes, you're going to take that because you feel that this is not. Now, apparently, you have to pay for your past. You can't change as a person. You know, you can't grow as a person. You can't think that the things that you did in the past were shameful and stuff. No, you have to pay for that, pay for your transgressions in the future. And that's kind of a sad thing. It's like what? Just because you can't, you know, you can live and you can learn, you learn the things that are right and wrong in life. And How are we to say that this Nolan didn't learn from his past, and why are they making him pay for those things?
I'm just curious what would happen if we judged everybody in the world by their singular worst transgression.
Well, then nobody gets an award.
Nobody gets an award.
That's what I'm saying. Like even Brianna Wu, like we've talked before, and I'm pretty sure on the show, about some of the underhanded tactics that she has used against people that she deems not worthy of having a platform. And some of them are mildly underhanded. We don't know, honestly, what kind of things she has done in her past. And I'm pretty sure, like, everybody's fucking stolen a candy bar or something stupid in their life. Is that or cheated at a board game or something? Like, at the very least, does that make everybody in the world liars and cheats?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. If you're going to judge everybody by their worst traits, right, the worst thing they've ever done, how are we going to actually move forward as a society, right?
By the way, like, I'm still not sure. What did he do exactly?
Nolan Bushnell founded Atari.
No. Like, what did he
do for the girl?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he apparently called for some paperwork. He was having a board meeting in his hot tub. Because that's what you did back then when you were wildly successful and whatnot, and called for some paperwork to come up, and a girl brought the paperwork up, and he tried to coax her into the hot tub with the other people, and that was apparently what was wildly inappropriate.
Among other situations, remember, this was the late 70s, early 80s, shit happened back then, you know?
He also gave a girl the nickname Pong or something like that because she had big boobs. Like, it's not great. Like, oh, you should be pounding the back for this kind of behavior, but it's like, that really just sounds like kind of stupid 80s and 70s kind of shit.
Yeah.
Again, this is what I always tell people. You can't impose like modern moral whatevers into the past. The past was the past. You know what I'm saying? You can't transpose all that shit. You know, it that's not how things work. You know,
like, I mean, it's inappropriate, but I'm pretty sure that dude apologized. Like, the thing about, like, people need to move on. Like, that's the most important thing. Like, when you fuck up in life, like, yeah, you get hit with certain, like, criteria, criticism and, you know, like, whatever, you know, but
how much did he fuck up though?
No. Like, I'm just saying, like, as petty as it may seem in some aspects, like, whatever the ramifications of that time, like, whatever. But, like, that was 30, 40 years from that? Like,
well, okay, but let me put this into perspective, like, just for the people out there, not necessarily for you guys. So you're sitting there in a hot tub, right? You're having a hot tub board meeting because you have just founded one of the biggest startup media entertainment companies ever, and you're just money coming out of your ears, and it's becoming wildly apparent that everybody who's involved in this project is going to be just filthy fucking rich, because that's literally what they were doing. Is they were sitting in the hot tub with like champagne, getting drunk, being like, we're all going to be millionaires, this is amazing, this thing has taken off, like, we are all wildly successful, we've made it, guys. And somebody comes up, somebody you work for, anybody, and you're just like, oh man, like, we're all gonna be fucking rich. Get the hot tub, have some champagne. It's a fucking party. Everybody's invited. Like, that doesn't even seem wildly super inappropriate by today's standards. I get that some people may be put off or put uncomfortable. Like, did you just invite me into the hot tub? Yes, but not because I'm trying to fucking sleep with you or get your clothes off or anything like that. We're having a hot tub party with champagne because we're all motherfucking rich.
But did he say that? Was it like, everybody get in, or was it like, hey, get in so I could, you know, give you the old hand out?
It sounded, but from what I was reading, it was they were celebrating their wild success with a board meeting in a hot tub with champagne and talking about how rich everybody was going to be. And when this girl brought up paperwork, they invited her into the hot tub and tried to coax her into the hot tub for to hang out with them and drink champagne. Like, yeah, not the greatest thing in the world. You shouldn't get a fucking medal for that behavior. But really, it's like, is it this what we're down to criticizing? Because at a certain point, like, you don't know the details. None of us know the details. That could have just been like, hey, we're having a good time. Hang on and have a good time with us.
I think the fact that he didn't go against it means something else must have happened, or else he could have fought it like Scott Baio is, you know, and just be like, hey, that's not what happened. And so something else. I mean, we weren't there.
Nobody well, no, it is inappropriate. It's inappropriate as a especially like technically speaking, it's inappropriate as a boss to invite your employee into a hot tub with you. Absolutely.
Now, were they all men? That's the other thing. Were they all men already in there and she would have been the only female, or were there other females?
Yeah, most likely. And all I'm saying, I'm not saying it's appropriate. I'm not saying like, and I totally get the whole like, you know, power dynamic thing. You can't exploit that. My point though is you don't know like how innocent it was or how innocent it wasn't. Sure, they may have all been there and being like, hey, do you want to get in the hot tub with us? And that would have been kind of fucked up. Yeah, like is that a reason to like try and dismantle somebody's award though? Like that many years later, like that just seems
well.
Unless it impacted her that she got blackballed for not doing it, and it ruined her career. You hear a lot of that, at least when it comes to the film guy that pulled that off. Yeah, but
that would have come out from the person that was involved in this story, not someone like Brianna Wu, who's a giant fraud.
Yeah,
you know, and that's all this SJW agenda where they just try to destroy the lives of someone who they don't agree with, or you know, their politics or otherwise. That's all it is. It's like, oh, you know. Poor Nolan Bushnell, the straight might man that pioneered gaming. Oh, don't give him an award. Like, you know, let's just do that to everyone. You know, let's rip Will Eisner's name off of his award because, you know, he drew black people a certain way, you know, back in the 30s. You know, it's ridiculous.
This is even admitted by Brian Wu's comment that, like, they don't want to try and take away this person's contribution, but this is not the year for it, is basically – code for we understand that this is a minor infraction and being blown a little bit out of proportion, but the environment right now is very heated and we don't want to draw any parallels.
No, so, she doesn't get to be the gatekeeper of what's appropriate and what isn't and what time things should happen. Fuck her.
Well, no, and that's my point. Like she even admits that it's just because of the environment right now that everybody's being hypersensitive, and that, you know, while he does maybe still deserve an award, this year is not a good year for it. Like that just insubstantiates your argument right there. That's just saying you're looking at things through a political lens of right fucking now, when you should be looking at it from through a lens of, does this person deserve this award? Period. Yes or no. End of story. You shouldn't be bringing identity politics into something like this.
Here's my question.
You're judging somebody's merit.
When is the right time then?
No, there probably wouldn't be one.
That's what I'm coming from. It's basically, this is a way to like disavow what people have done in the past, you know, for purely political reasons, and it's fucked
up. Yeah, but they don't even have enough heat to actually disavow them. They just they can basically say like, well, you know, that's basically saying like, well, you know, we'd like to condemn them, but we can't. So, you know, we're really just gonna say, you know, we can't not condemn you just because, you know, we know you're not a witch, but there's this whole witch trial thing that's going on and people expect people to be burned, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we realize that you're innocent and that it's you know, you just kind of like living in the woods alone. We realize it's not great. You're really antisocial. You smell terrible. You yell at children on your lawn. We generally don't like you, but, you know, those are really good reasons. But again, there's this whole witch trial thing going on. So we're just going to go ahead and burn you anyway because, you know, it's been a year. Like, that's just – it seems what this whole thing kind of rides as. Like, and none of his behavior was secret either. Like, there have been books written about him and the things that he did. He basically said, like, yeah, like, it was a wild time. Probably not didn't act in the best way possible all the time.
Yeah, yeah. All this shit is documented. And let's just be honest here. Even though I fully say Nolan Bushnell deserves the award, right? Any award, right? He's a known fucking asshole. Everyone knows that. And as Manny and I were having this conversation before, right? People in leadership positions are fucking assholes. They needed to be assholes to get there. You know what I'm saying? So come on, man. You can't put more modern moral bullshit into the past. You know?
But the thing is, even if it is in the past, they're bringing it up. Like, for example, Vince McMahon, right? He came out and did the XFL and all that stuff. And I forgot if it was the Daily News or the Post or one of them. They found dirt from years ago when he had the sexual assault charge. That was already squashed. That was handled and dealt with. But they had to bring it up again.
Yeah, but you know, you see what I mean, right? Doing that? To smear people, bro.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're using that shit to smear people, you know? It's fucking insane, man. You know, so, yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway, this shit bummed me the fuck out. We need to lighten up the news here. Brian, please tell us what happened with GTA 5, son. Brian, stop playing GTA, man. Stop playing Warframe. All right, I'll look it up since Brian is indisposed. So, yeah, GTA 5 is like, wasn't it one of the best-selling games of last year? Something like that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, let me look this up. Brian dropped the ball. It's crazy.
Brian's asleep, right, yo. Now. Or play video games.
Hey, man, you can't blame him if he does fall asleep.
It's like 4 in the morning.
Here we go. Here we go. Found it. GTA 5. Let me make sure. Mr. Robert Workman wrote this story.
Mr. Workman.
Yeah, we got to get him back on, man. Okay, so GTA 5 tops 2017's best-selling digital games. Tops. It's the best-selling digital game of 2017 was GTA 5, man. They can't stop. Won't stop. It's fucking insane.
Rockstar, at this point, Rockstar and Take-Two don't even really need to make like games as much anymore. All they need to do is just sit on these games.
You know what? This list is interesting. So, the best-selling digital games of last year, Grand Theft Auto V, right? A game that came out in 2013. Call of Duty, World War II, okay. FIFA 17. The rest of these games actually came out last year, by the way. You know, Destiny 2, number 4. Yo, Adam, check this out. So, FIFA 17 is number 3, yet FIFA 18 is number 5.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Because there wasn't that much of a change. So I could see why it's up there fine, but I could see why people are still doing 17. Plus, a lot of people sell their stuff off or their foot players. So then the price of the players are cheaper. So then it just pays to just play 17.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. By the way, I gave you guys some wrong information. The rest of these games are not all from 2017. Okay, Battlefield 1 is on here, number 6. Call of fucking Duty. Black Ops 3, number 7, number 8, Ghost Recon. At least that did come out last year. There are 3 Call of Duty games on this fucking list. Infinite Warfare. Oh my fucking God. What the hell?
But you know what?
And Rainbow Six Siege is number 10. What the fuck is wrong with people, man?
The whole thing was, Black Ops 3 was very different because I want to have 4-player co-op for the story.
Oh my God.
That was a fun one. Let's go back to that. Let's all play that.
Bunch of shooter man games, like Brian said.
Meet me in the middle. That's what they used to say. Meet me in the middle.
This is fucking nuts,
Let's
man.
Let's do this.
I'll play this shit.
You can jump on board, man. You just got me so excited. I can't shoot people in the face. Give me a SMG or something, then we can talk.
You can shoot people in the face with Monster Hunter.
You have an SMG?
Yeah.
All right, then let's go for it. If I could do that, shoot those monsters in the face.
Headshot. All of these are bro games. Adam, these are all your games, bruh.
I'm telling you.
These are all your games.
Those are the games that matter, man. Those are the games that matter. They have longevity. They bring the money.
It's insane.
Show me the money. Think if those games didn't exist.
It wouldn't be in a shitter. The industry just wouldn't be as big as it is now. Think about that. The vast majority of the money that comes into the industry, aside from mobile games, obviously, are games like these. It's insane, man. It's fucking crazy.
It's fun, man.
It's just because there's some, you know, people who have friends who have the game, they probably watch a stream. Also, you know, general audiences do not, you know, all this gaming journalism and all that other junk that's out there, most people don't read that shit.
No, they don't,
They're
man.
They just be like, new Call of Duty, yeah. Oh, wow, they got the last one. I want to play that thing, too.
Tony, we got to get you Black Ops 3. That'll be fun. All of us can play that. If you like Destiny, you'll like Black Ops 3.
I played some of the beta and that shit. No,
do it, man.
Yeah, it was
That'll all right. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
That's for the campaign. It'll be fun.
Yeah, by the way, our boy Mike, he's kind of like that with Bethesda games. He only buys Bethesda games. He doesn't buy any other game, just Bethesda games.
No, I don't do that.
So,
can't go that far.
So he's the opposite end of those dudes that just buy Madden and Call of Duty every year, you know?
You know what's funny? I have some people that I know that were into, you know, just Call of Duty guys. I have a lot of them. And I sent some messages out after we talked about last time. Like, you guys playing anything else? Because, you know, and he said, yeah, but they play more shooters. It's yeah, like Battlefront and also, so they're still in the shooter world, you know, but that's just their preference. They prefer FPS. That's just what they like to do. I was like, all right.
I mean, that, you know, that's cool if you're into that. I personally don't get it. I need variety and shit, some imagination in my games, but you know, I can't, you know, if, hey, I can't knock them if they yeah, like it.
I mean,
it,
we
know?
Were like Destiny.
So you're like, that's a shooter.
Where is yeah, the, but that's see, what I'm saying. Thing. Destiny has this, imagination behind it, understand? Like, they actually yeah, built a world. It's not just, hey, it's World War II. Okay, whatever, you know? You know?
Yeah, see, the thing is that for Tony, you know, we actually talked about this before the show, too, where he wasn't, it's not about the you know, so much the mechanics. It's the fact that it's whether if something is a you know, artificial fantasy world as opposed to like trying to replicate something that happened in reality or is reality.
Yeah, it's like you put a Call of Duty in my face. I'm like, I'm not, you know, I don't care for this. You put Titanfall in my face. I'm playing that motherfucker. They got mechs, you know, because like mechs ain't real. So that's what I want to see.
So you definitely like Black Ops 3. We got to get you Black Ops 3.
Yeah, I mean, if it has robots in it, I'm down, man. Even though the game is old as shit, so, you know, I don't know.
It's not that old.
Yeah, it is. It's like 2 years old. That's ancient, practically.
It's 2 years
old. You know, you know how that goes.
Fun. Hey, we just talked about it. It's still on the charts.
It is.
So there's a reason. There's a reason.
Well, you know, because casuals like their simple games. That's why, you know.
It's not that simple. It's fun, man. It's just fun. Isn't that
the game with Kevin Spacey and his son?
No, that's Advanced Warfare. That's the old one. This is the one that has the guy from Happy, the guy from Oz, who is raping people.
Yeah, yo, Adam, check this out. This is interesting.
That totally sells it. Yeah, let's play the game with the guy who rapes people.
Oh, I forgot the actor's name, but he was known for CSI. No, SVU for the longest. He was one of the detectives. Now he's the main character of Happy. He's Nick Sachs. But he's the main guy in Black Ops 3.
I find it funny that Black Ops 3 is in this, but not Advanced Warfare. Didn't Advanced Warfare come out
before? No, that came out before.
Oh, that's why.
Black Ops 3. It was Black Ops 3. Then there was Infinite Warfare.
Ah, gotcha.
And then that's what we have. Gotcha. That's, yeah.
Okay, so they are all in kind of orders. There's Infinite Warfare, there's Black Ops, and there's World War 2.
Yeah, and then the next one that comes will be another Black Ops. That's how the three studios cycle. So the next one is going to be Black Ops.
Black Ops 4.
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay, that's gonna do it for this episode. The internet held out, so I'm happy about that. All right,
good stuff.
You know, it didn't hold out when I was trying to play Monster Hunter earlier, but you know, what can you do? I had to fight that Ordegarin all by myself and shit. All right, man. So, thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys, and I would like to welcome the folks from the SEV Network, which they are hosting our show as well, in addition to the Coalition. So, welcome, guys, and I hope you enjoy the Throwdown.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
There's everyone.
Brett Murdoch. Oh, Brett's gone.
Monster
too.
Hunter!
It's been real, party people.
It's been real, party people.
Sorry. I was on mute.
All right.
See everybody. Get my hunt on.
Adam Vale.
Christopher Maloney. That's his name. That's the actor. Christopher Maloney. And tomorrow night, Friday night, WrestleCast. Talk some wrestling.
Yeah, and big money. Let's see if he shows up. Mr. Brian Manjoma.
Ah.
Damn it. Later people. Yeah. All right, man. We'll see. Oh, by the way, Monster Hunter streaming tomorrow night. Get ready, man. Later.
Yes, we're going to be working for some Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah,
junk.
Baby. All right, man. We'll see you then. Peace.
Later, guys.
Later.